Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And as usual, I have good news for you. We are here on this plane of action to thrive, not just to survive. And so many people think that they're here just to get by. If they can just survive the day, if they can just survive the week, the year, if they can survive whatever they're going through at the moment, if they can survive their children till they get out of the house. It's always this. And the world teaches that. The world teaches you that you need to survive. And then we get into the survival mode of that we need food, we need clothing, we need money, we need this, we need that. And we go after those things simply to survive. But you are here on this plane of action to thrive, to absolutely thrive. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Man was born to be rich, or inevitably grows rich, by the use of his faculties." By the use of his faculties. We are all given wonderful minds. The mind that you're using is the mind of God. We're all using the same mind. And in that mind is all possibilities. And we can use those possibilities to bring prosperity into our lives, to bring abundance into our lives, and certainly to bring money into our lives. And so many people think, oh, I'm not intelligent enough. My ideas aren't great enough. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash. We are all intelligent enough to do those things. And the money that has been made in the past, we are now used to people like Bill Gates making money through technology and so forth. But look at the money that was made when the man invented the eraser on a pencil. An eraser. Somebody thought that up. Oh, put eraser. He made millions. The paper clip with another one. How about chewing gum? Look at that. And it used to sell for 5 cents. And there's all Wrigley Field, Wrigley this, Wrigley that. Money from one small idea. And it keeps right on going. Coca-Cola, all of these things. It's an idea. You don't have to have the biggest and the greatest idea in the world to make money, to bring prosperity and abundance into your life so that you are thriving instead of just surviving. So don't let your mind put you down and say, oh, you're not smart enough to do that. Or your idea is not big enough to make something. It's always the simplest little ideas that make big money. That make big money. And they go on forever. And you just keep making money from them. So think of those things. But know that you're here to thrive, not just to survive, not just to get by. Many people are very happy with the idea, if I can just get through the week, if I can just get through the week, if I can pay this bill, I'll be all right. That's a mindset. And you have to change that mindset. You have to start seeing yourself with good ideas. You have to see yourself with money and prosperity and abundance. You have to do that for yourself. Because the mind that you're using is the mind of God. So it's a good mind. People say, oh, my mind isn't any good. That's an impossibility. Your mind is good. Because, oh, I can't remember something. You can remember anything that you want to remember. You just have to train yourself. Some of these things take some work. They take some effort. But they can be accomplished and they can be done. So do it for yourself. Make the money that you want to make in life. Learn to really thrive in life so that you can prove not only to yourself but to everybody else that there is a power in the universe, a power for good, and a power that we call God. Because whenever we accomplish anything, we are proving this whole idea of God. We are proving that God absolutely does exist. And that God works in, as, and through us all the time. Works in, as, and through us all the time. And when things are not going the way you want them in your life, remember that God is working in, as, and through you. And move yourself out of the way. Move yourself out of the way. Just say to yourself, I can't do this, but I know you can, God. Give me a good idea. Give me a better idea. When my mind gives me an idea, I don't like it. I said, I don't like that one. Give me a better one. Give me something different. And an idea will come into your mind. It works that way because we're living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God, which is a field of all possibilities. And we can do anything we set our minds out to do. It may take some effort. And it certainly takes faith and it takes belief. Belief in yourself and belief in this thing that we call God. Why do we want to have such a concept as God and then never use it? Then never use it. We have to get rid of the idea that our parents gave us or that the world gave us that God is somewhere else. We have to know that God is everywhere present all the time and that God is in us. That is why we make this statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. Once you realize that, your whole life will change. Your whole life will change. You see, our little ego mind wants us to believe that it is everything. And the ego mind is nothing. The ego mind is nothing. So you have to tell it, move out of the way. Let me alone. And allow the bigger mind, the infinite mind, to work through you. So that you can accomplish what you wish to accomplish. And never get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. You have to remember that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. And that this thing that we call God knows how to do that. And is doing that for you right here and right now. And that this thing that we call God knows something even bigger and better for you than you can even think about. So never get discouraged and say, oh, I didn't get that, so it doesn't work. No, I didn't get that because something better is coming my way. Something better is coming my way. I was talking to Reba the other day on the telephone, and I didn't know that she had never heard this. The whole idea of building up your prosperity, building up your abundance, and building up your money, and you don't see it right now, you have to know that it's in the cosmic bank. You have to know that it's in the cosmic bank, and you're gaining compound interest on it.
I love that.
And you're gaining compound interest on it. Your good is always your good. It's always available to you. When you don't get your good, it's not because God is not giving it to you. It's because you haven't opened up to that. But it doesn't mean that it's gone. It means it's in the bank. And it's collecting interest, compounded interest. How many people do you know that wanted something and wanted something, and when they got it, a great big thing came? Not little. It's always growing. Your good is always growing. Your good is always established for you. It is always there for you. What we're doing is learning to grow into our good by learning to move ourselves out of the way and allow it to come through. How do we move ourselves out of the way? By taking away all the limitations in our mind that we put up God never puts a limit on anything. God is limitless. If he's infinite, it has to be limitless also. But we put limits on things. And when we put limits on it, we block the flow. We block our good from coming to us. So, we move ourselves out of the way by what? Making ourselves available for that good. And how do we make ourselves available for that good? Aha! By knowing what? I'm lovable. I'm deserving. I'm worthy. And I matter. And I matter. So with that,
let's go. You doing gymnast?
She's getting ready to do that matter dance.
I matter, I really matter.
What a small but mighty group.
I have a telephone consultation that I do. And the young man called me today because the last time I talked with him, nothing was happening in his life that he wanted. And he says, oh, I'm doing affirmation after affirmation. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Blah, 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 blah. I said, stop. Stop. Don't do one more treatment. Don't do one more affirmation. I'll do it for you. You're putting entirely too much into it. And when you put too much into it, you're exhausted. And you exhaust the whole process. Today when he called, which I told him also, I said, here's the only things that I want you to remember. You're totally lovable, you're worthy, deserving, and that you matter. I said, I want you to do that. Today he said, oh, I've been doing that, Dallas, and do I ever feel good, and things have changed. Things are starting to change. Those four things will literally change your life. They will literally change your life. So if you don't do anything else, do those every day. Do those every day.
One more time, I'm lovable. I matter.
I'm totally lovable.
Totally lovable.
I'm worthy.
Worthy.
I'm deserving.
Deserving.
And I matter. Do them every day in front of a mirror. Always do your mirror work. Do your mirror work. Jules, Reva, and I went last night to hear Carolyn Mace. Carolyn Mace's talk was put on by Hay House, which is Louise Hay. Louise Hay wrote, You Can Heal Your Life. She wrote, You Can Heal Your Life 20 years ago. 20 years ago she wrote, You Can Heal Your Life. 20 years ago she did mirror work. 20 years ago she did mirror work. She told people to look in the mirror. To look into your eyes and to get that, because the eyes are the window to the soul. And many people cannot even look anyone in the eye. I was facilitating an AIDS group in Atlanta when it first came out in the 80s. And those men that were there, they were young men, could not look the other person in the eye. I had them do exercises so that you could absolutely look in the eyes of the people. The one guy said to me, I've never been able to do that. I've never been able to do that. Because they don't feel worthy enough to do it. They don't feel lovable enough, deserving, or they don't feel that they matter. So their eyes are always down. I see many politicians, you know, they can't look people in the eye. They always talk with their eyes down. I can name the list, but I won't. Anyway, learn to do this. Learn to know this about yourself, because I'll tell you how powerful it is. That group of men could not do it, and they're all dead. They're all dead. Learn to do that.
Well, most of her work at that point was with AIDS patients, and she had them doing that and so changed so many lives.
She did what was called the Hayride at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Louise Hay was able to heal herself of cancer. And she healed herself with cancer by doing affirmations. And the affirmations were these type of affirmations. And there were a lot of forgiving affirmations, because you have to forgive yourself and everybody else. You have to forgive yourself. When you forgive yourself and everybody else around you, the slate is clean. The slate becomes clean again. But if you're not forgiving, that slate stays there. And all that stuff written on it. And then you want to know why you're not thinking clear, dear, or why you're not getting what you want. How can you get through that maze of all this stuff? Get rid of it. It's worthless. And it will lead you. It will lead you to death. It's as simple as that. And the world does not want you to know that. The world wants to keep you anxious all the time. And the world wants to tell you that you are not quite right. Do not believe that. Do not believe that. Know that you matter. And you matter to this universe. And then bring it down to yourself and know that you matter to yourself. If you can't look somebody in the eye, you don't matter to yourself. You don't matter to yourself. So if you don't matter to yourself, how do you expect this power to really operate through you? The whole idea is to become a clear vessel. A clear vessel or a conduit for this power to come through you. Cosmic power. How do you think we're staying alive? By cosmic power. We're not doing this ourselves, you know. We're not. That's as simple as that. But do it. And see the difference. Don't live in those. See how much it... When you start to really like yourself, what happens? All of you, perhaps you do not, and you do not. There's an 83-year-old woman that comes to the Monday night class, Rhoda. And she said this to me. She said, you know, Dallas, when I don't love myself, nothing happens. When I don't love myself, nothing happens. You have to love yourself for something to happen. You have to love yourself enough to be able to sell the $1 million home. You have to be able to love yourself enough to accept that you get the job as an actor. It's all based on that.
Reba and I were having a conversation today about last night, and I remember my therapist told me once, years ago, we were talking about religion and God. And she said, you don't really think you're perfect enough to have God in your life. And then when I hear you talking about that, I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I didn't realize that that's what the barrier was.
Yes.
And then, you know, it helped me to understand I don't have to be perfect. But then, talking about that, is how can you have a relationship with God, for one, if you don't think you're, it's about being worthy. It goes back to being worthy.
Absolutely.
Right, and so if you're not worthy, then it'll just play out in your life.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it's very interesting that years later, it's back in my space, and that it's really the take-home message.
Yes, it is the take-home message, and it's always going to be the take-home message. And the world likes to teach that we are not perfect, that we're imperfect, because we are human. And I'm telling you that you're always whole, complete, and perfect. I'm telling you that your dish is never dirty. There may be dirt on the dish, but the dish is never dirty. And this thing that we call God only creates perfection. And God sees each and every one of us as absolutely perfect. It's the little finite mind, that little ego mind of ours, who wants to pick us apart all the time and tell us that we're not perfect. Because we live on a plane of action where there is duality and where there's comparisons all the time. So we see somebody else and we allow the world to tell us, this is the model for beauty. If you don't have this model for beauty, you're not perfect and you never will be. That's absolutely wrong, people. Don't do it to yourself.
I guess I'm hung up about that we are absolutely perfect.
Yes.
That means there's no more room for improvement. But that's not true. We all know that. That's why we're here.
I will explain that to you. And you won't ever have to ask that question again.
Okay, thank you.
You're always whole, complete, and perfect. You were made in perfection by perfection. Therefore, you are perfection. And there's nothing but perfection inside of you. But we're always looking for that perfection. We're always trying to draw that perfection out. So as we improve ourselves, that perfection starts to come to the forefront. What you have in the forefront now is a filter in front of you. And that filter you're looking through is telling you that you're not whole, complete, and perfect because you don't get this, you don't have that, you're too tall, you're too thin, you're too fat, your teeth aren't straight, this isn't going on, that isn't going on. That's a filter in front of you. Now, as soon as you take that filter apart, oh my God, look, I'm perfect. You have to get rid of these. These are called limitations. And you get rid of those limitations. As soon as you get rid of the limitations, you see yourself as whole, complete, and perfect. Whole, complete, and perfect. Now somebody will say, oh yeah, I have arthritis, or I have AIDS, or I have this, or I have that. You're always whole, complete, and perfect. Don't dwell on those qualities about yourself. Go inside to that part that has never been touched by anything on the outside of life. And look at yourself from there and allow that to start coming out. Then the filters start to move out. You see? Remember the old thing? You can't see the tree for the forest. You can't see the tree for the forest. We all are walking around with our hands in front of what we're trying to see. Where is that? Remove that and you will see how perfect you are. And don't let your mind tell you that you're not. Did your mind tell you you're not because you didn't succeed somewhere? You didn't succeed somewhere, so your mind says, look at that, you're a failure. A human being is never a failure. Failure is an event. Human beings can never fail. Events can fail. A human being can never fail. You're always successful. Don't let the world tell you anything differently.
And we keep coming because it's so easy to fall out of that. You and I talked about that last night. We go to different events here, church, wherever, because it's so easy to walk out the door and...
Because you're bombarded with all the race nine stuff that's telling you that you're not perfect.
And it's exactly the same as going to the gym. You have to exercise. If you want muscles, you have to exercise. You can't sit here and do an affirmation, I have wonderful muscles, without picking up a weight. It will not work. And you have to go back to the gym, and you have to keep it up. You have to come here. This thing is very nebulous, and it will leave you so quickly. You have to be in it. Why do I teach? I love teaching now twice a week, because I have to be in it all the time. I have to be in this all the time. If I'm not in this all the time, my mind will pick me to pieces. And that outside world, that is a thought atmosphere that's out there. And most of us are not strong enough. Not strong enough. Not strong enough to get out of that thought atmosphere. So when you're diagnosed with AIDS or cancer or something, the race mind tells you you have 6 months to live, 2 years to live, you have this to live, and this is going to happen to you, and you say, okay. That's a thought atmosphere. You have to go within and know that you're whole, complete, and perfect. And the dish There's no dirt on that dish. The dish is never dirty. And you wipe the dish clean. You take it off. And you will see that this is how healings are done. This is how healings are done. Last night, she used the word grace. It's the cosmic power coming through you. You can term it grace, the grace of God. But it's always done with that. But it's not done with that outside there. It's not done with that outside there. That world outside is too damn convincing. It's too damn convincing. If you get sick, you go to a hospital, it is absolutely overwhelming. It is absolutely overwhelming, and it's totally convincing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Totally convincing. You cannot allow yourself to be convinced by the world. You cannot allow that. Take the same thing. The idea that we are here to thrive, not just to survive. The outside world, what does it always want to tell you? Money is scarce. Only 2% of the population has all the money. The rest of the people do not. That's an out and out lie. That's a lie. You can't believe that. In real estate, you have it all the time. I hear it from every real estate. Things aren't selling. Large inventory now, but no one's buying. That's it. We might as well just pack up and go home. Who made that shit up? Who made that up?
Well, it's not true.
It's not true.
They did.
Well, no, we know who they are. In the real estate thing, it's the stock market that made that up. Yes. We want the money to go back to the stock market. Right. Not real estate.
It's all done with thought atmosphere.
Sure.
So stay out of all that. Get out of that. Did that help you?
Absolutely. That was perfect. Thank you.
Everything's in its divine place.
perfect order. Yeah.
Right. I like it when I get hit on the head. This teaching is very, very simple. Don't try to complicate it all the time. Our minds always want to make things difficult, complicated, because we want to say, I'm so smart. I'm so intelligent. Well, smartness and intelligence has nothing to do with this teaching whatsoever. It has nothing to do with this teaching. You can make this very intellectual, and you can make it very esoteric. But where's that going to get you? You know, where's that going to get you? It's not going to get you where you want to go. Keep it simple. No. Excuse me. All you need to know is you have a connection. You have a connection with God. And that God is the source of your supply in everything. Only ever one problem. A God problem. Only ever one problem. A God problem. So don't let your mind tell you, oh no, this is this problem, and that's that problem, and this problem. No. Only ever one problem. Very, very simple. And you can grasp it, young lady. You'll see how amazing your life will turn out. So don't let the world ever convince you. Just is not good. Okay. A race mind alert. Here's a great one. Last night, at the Carolyn Mace thing, I don't know how many people were there. Let's say 200 or 300. And they're all into what we call metaphysics or new thought or whatever you want to call this. So this one lady is, I'm always listening to other people's conversations.
Dipping.
Yeah. Dipping, yeah.
Dallas dipping.
So the one says to the other one, how are you? She says, you know, I'm just falling apart. And then she went on to tell her how what this was going. That's da-da-da-da-da-da. That's total race mind, people. Total race mind. Plus, it's an affirmation. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute affirmation. Mm-hmm. You see, when we do affirmations, we are telling our mind something. Something that we want. Something that we want to change about ourselves. And we do that because the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference. It takes anything that you give it and works on it. Takes anything that you give it and works on it. So if you stand up and you say, I'm falling apart, the subconscious mind says, oh, they want to fall apart. Now how can I help them along? Oh, maybe I can make their arm drop off tonight.
And she probably says it over and over
and
over.
And of course she says it over and over and over again. And it's an ongoing affirmation. You see, people think that affirmations are just the things that we do. You say, money's always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus. That is an affirmation. Why do I say that? Because I want to convince myself of that. I want my subconscious mind to convince me of that. But anything you say is an affirmation. That's why we watch what we say. That's why we watch our words. Most people have no idea the dribble that comes out of their mouth and the things that they say constantly. And you can't say that to yourself. That's why the other affirmations, I'm wonderful and all, you do those. I'm lovable, I'm this, I'm that. These are the things you want in your mind. You don't want an affirmation, I'm falling apart. Now, the woman will fall apart, you know. Things will start to fall apart.
Yeah.
Because the subconscious mind doesn't know that that's bad. It makes no judgments. It makes no judgments. You see? So it starts to go to work on that. That's how powerful we are. That's how powerful we are. So, listen to what you're saying to yourself all day long. Listen to what you're saying to yourself all day long. Henry David Thoreau said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. A man becomes what he thinks about all day long. So where is the conversation in your head? Where is it going? What are you telling yourself all day long? And you think you can get away with that because no one hears you. Well, first of all, no one hears you and nobody cares. But you hear yourself and you certainly care, don't you? If you know that you matter, you care. If you don't know that you matter, you just let that go on. Oh, yeah, that's right, I'm awful. Oh, yeah, I'll never get anywhere. Oh, yeah, I failed at that. They're affirmations, people. You see, affirmations are not only positive, they're also negative. And most of us are saying a negative thing constantly. Constantly. What's the biggest one in California? What is the biggest negative? And they prove it all the time. Traffic's bad. Ask anyone in California. Oh, traffic's horrible. You go to the east, they say, oh, isn't the traffic bad out there? The east knows the traffic's bad. Because that's a fun atmosphere and it goes. How'd they go?
Well, you can go to Bakersfield and they'll tell you how it's bad. The traffic's bad.
Yeah. Well, I know, but you see what I'm saying, though. See, it travels. All that. And they're just affirmations. They're just affirmations. And they prove themselves out. And see, and that's what confuses people. Because they say, well, you see, it's right. Well, of course it's right, you idiot. Of course it's right. It has to prove itself out. Your mind has to prove what you put into it. If it didn't do that, you would go crazy because you would say one thing and something else would happen. You would say one thing and something else would happen. That's the way the mind works. We have to learn how to use our mind. You see? You know that you're not your mind, right? Your mind is yours to use. And we have to learn how to use that tool. And that's one of the ways we learn. So you say, oh my, I'm not going to say that in a normal time. I don't want to get that. I don't get that. I know many people say, huh, absolute pain in the ass. Absolute pain in the ass. Then they get hemorrhoids. And they wonder where they got the hemorrhoids from. Because they're always saying, that gives me a pain in the ass. You know people like that.
I know somebody who could say how pissed off they were and they got kidney cancer.
Yes. See that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
And that gives me, how about the one that gives me a pain in the neck? You know, or you're a pain in the neck. See, you can't say you're a pain in the neck or somebody else is a pain in the neck. Anytime you do an affirmation, anytime you say anything, your mind thinks you're talking about you. It has no idea you're talking about somebody else. If I say, ugh, you're an awful mean person, the mind says, you're an awful mean person. Mm-hmm. It never projects outside of itself. It doesn't project outside of itself.
Well, that's interesting, because yesterday I cleared my calendar for a client that can't make up her mind. So she said, I'm going to come in and write this offer. So I said, okay. So I cleared my calendar, and she read to me an email in the afternoon and said, I might do it tomorrow. Well, I get really grouchy. Because for me, it took me a lot of work to clear my calendar.
Yes, well, first of all.
But I got really grouchy.
Yeah.
I have to tell you. So by the time I had to go to that thing last night, I'm like, I don't fucking want to go. Because I'm grouchy. So then when I got there, it was fine.
Yes.
But I don't know how to. I couldn't bring up some affirmation to the. Oh, that's nice. This is open to it. I was pissed.
Right. But now you realize that's a good thing. You have to realize that you were the one who pissed yourself off. She did not do that. But when you started the whole thing, you said she cannot make up her mind. You have to affirm she can make up her mind. I'm not clearing my calendar. That date is set. She will arrive on time, and she will sign this contract. You have to do that. But you left her get a
free card.
A free card. You left her have a free card. You see, people do what you want them to. They always do what you expected. And somewhere inside, you expected her not to show up. But you were hoping that she would.
Oh.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. That's good.
Because it's not the first time it has happened.
Yeah. So, don't let it happen again.
Okay.
You're the one that's doing it.
Okay, that makes sense.
You're the one that's doing it. You see?
So, I should be saying she can make up her mind.
Oh, absolutely. She has a wonderful mind and she can make it up because she's using the mind of God, and the mind of God knows exactly what to do, and that contract is signed.
Okay.
You see? We do that to ourselves, you see? We do it constantly to ourselves, and we think the other person did it.
Oh, yeah.
And we think it's part of life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we say that, Joe.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, that's life.
Yeah, that's life. Stop doing that.
People.
People. Don't do it. All right. Tonight. Oh, did you scare your mind? And this is when I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am absolutely one with God. And because I am one with God, I am open and receptive to all the qualities of God. And I let those qualities come through me, come out of me, and become me. And because I allow that, everything else is added onto me. So that I always have abundance and prosperity and money in my life. I allow this power to be my life. And I let that be so. And so it is. So many people are afraid to give up their personality and to give up this thing we call the ego, because you think that what you're surrendering to, what you're going to give it up for, will not be as great. Will not be as great. You're giving it up for God. And you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. God does not disappoint people. God does not disappoint people. Impossibility. We disappoint ourselves sometimes. But God doesn't disappoint us. So, do that. Okay? Tonight's topic. Facts. Facts. All facts dwell in race mind. All facts are out there in the world. And all facts change. All facts change. There is not one fact that doesn't change. The only thing that remains the same is truth. Is truth. So the truth is that you're whole, complete, and perfect. The fact is, at the present moment, you are not experiencing that. But that does not mean that you're not whole, complete, and perfect. Once you change the fact, you will see the difference. And we run our world on facts. We run our world on facts. Businesses run on facts. And surely, the monetary system runs on facts all the time. And facts change. That's why a fact is that your bank account may be low right now. But the truth is, money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus. And you must go always to truth. But because we live in the world, we dwell on facts. We dwell on facts. How many people read the newspaper and there's all these facts on Tuesday and you get all upset over these facts? And on Wednesday, all those facts just change to something else. They just change to something else. And you were up all night worrying about that. And now it's all changed. You see how manipulative the world is? And facts are manipulative. They're always manipulating you with facts. And facts themselves manipulate you. Truth never manipulates. Truth stands as truth, always dependable. It never changes. God never changes. And that's the true reality of life. That reality never changes. It never changes. You may have a cold today. That's a fact. Tomorrow you don't. Because you're always whole, complete, and perfect. And you must go to the whole, complete, and perfect thing and not look at the facts. And not look at the facts. How many people had the flu this year? I didn't know anybody had the flu this year. I don't know of anybody. So now they're going to tell you the flu's late. It's going to come some other time. These are facts, people. And we keep living in those facts. Don't live in those facts. The real estate business is nothing but facts. Nothing but facts. There's no truth behind any of that stuff. So look and see in your life what fact you are believing in. What fact are you believing in? And stop believing in it. And start going to the truth. And look behind that fact. That fact is a filter. It's an absolute filter. And you have to move it so that you can see what the real reality is of something. What the real reality is of something. But the world is so convincing that it tells us that. And we believe it. And we have believed it since day one. Since day one. How many centuries ago did they tell you that the earth was flat? but the earth was flat. And everyone believed that. And it was a fact. The truth is, the world's not flat. The truth is, the world's not flat. So you always have to move from what you think is real. Look at it and know that it's a fact. Everyone knows this one. Fear is false evidence appearing real. That's what facts are. It's false evidence appearing real. Facts make you fearful. Truth never makes you fearful. Truth never makes you fearful. You look at your checkbook and it's very late. Oh my, oh my, oh my. But remember, money's always freely circulating in your life and you always have divine surplus. Now, the truth always heals you and always makes you feel good. Always heals you and always makes you feel good. But we go to the fact. We go to the facts instead. Instead of going to the truth. Those young men, if they would have went to the truth, would be alive today. But they allowed the world to convince them that they had AIDS and that they would die. And in the 80s, as soon as you were diagnosed with AIDS, they told you to write your will. And they had groups. Now this is how insidious. Society is. But they said, oh, we meant well. I hate that. No one means well. They were mean-spirited people. They would get in churches, in the basement. They would, lawyers would dedicate their time for these people to line up and write their will. To line up and write their will. A friend of mine, David, was going that night, and I said, well, I couldn't drive. I said, I'll drive you. They wouldn't let me in. They wouldn't let me in. Because I wasn't dying of AIDS. So I couldn't see what was going on in there. Now, think of the affirmation that is. Think of the power that that has. If you sit down, first of all, doctor tells you you're going to die in 2 weeks, get your will, and the lawyer sits there. Here are authority figures. You sign your name to a will. Now, what do you think your mind's going to do with that?
You're going to die in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you're going to die in 2 weeks. A friend of mine, Mike Carter, had AIDS. Home with the bags and, oh, I don't know what all. Had one of those insurance policies, catastrophic, but it ended at $500,000. The food that they were giving him in the bag that they brought to the house was $600 a week. $600 a week. It was a day. I think it was a week. He said to me, what am I going to do? I'm running out of money. I won't be able to do this. And as soon as he reached $500,000, he died. That's how powerful your mind is. That's how powerful your mind is. It'll do that to you. Because what else is he going to do? And he told himself that. And the mind accomplished it. The mind accomplished it for him. Now, these are bad examples, not good examples. But your mind is that powerful. And if it can be that powerful to do that to you, it can certainly be powerful enough to do the reverse and to heal you and to bring you out of any situation you think you're in at the present moment. any situation it can bring you out of. Why is that? Because your mind is the mind of God. Your mind is the mind of God. It knows what to do. Let it do its work. Let it do its work through you. But go to the truth. Don't listen to the facts. What are the facts? You're too old for that job. You'll never get that job. You don't have the education for that job. You're not this. You're not that. They are facts, people. They have nothing to do with anything. If you want the job, you'll get the job. Anyone who thinks that the resume is going to get you the job, forget it. They're very nice resumes, but they don't get you the job. What gets you the job?
Worthy,
deserving, totally lovable, and I matter.
God actually gets you the job because he's the source.
Yes. He's the source. And that source comes through you when you have those things working for you. Those come through you. The highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. I don't care what people tell you. You have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to love yourself. It is the absolute key to life. And once you love yourself, you start to love life. And you start to love everybody else. You know, the world teaches, I was in Boy Scouts, God first, others second, and self third. God first, others second, and self third. The world teaches that. Most religions teach that. And I'm telling you, that's ass backwards. You have to love yourself first. Then you can love other people. Once you can learn to love other people, then you can learn to love God. But if you don't love yourself, how the hell can you love God? That's the absolute impossibility. It's an absolute impossibility. Why do you think the churches are so filled with people? Because they don't love themselves. They don't love themselves. And they think, well, I'll love God and no one will notice. No one will notice that I don't love myself. I can see those people, I can look at them and I think, oh my God, they don't love themselves. They don't love themselves. I told you about being at my brother's church. I won't mention the name. Where you had to stand up and say how unworthy you were. How unworthy you were. And how about the Catholic Church? Pray for us sinners now in the hour of our death. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Now, if you think you're a sinner, how can you think that you're totally lovable? How can you think that? It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. But it certainly keeps people going to the church, doesn't it? Just keeps them going back for more. People love to be told how bad they are, how rotten they are. I'm here to tell you that you're lovable, that you're worthy, deserving, and that you matter. That's what we're here for. That's what this is all about. How can you say that if you know that you're part of God and you have to be part of God because God is all there is? There's nothing outside of God. God is the only reality. God is the only life. God is the only intelligence. God is the only energy. There is no other energy. There's no other life going on anywhere. So then how can you stand up and say, I'm a sinner and I'm unworthy? You're saying that about God. You're saying that about God. Now, is this that complicated that people don't understand that and they buy into all that twaddle that's going on out there in churches and so forth? And then we wonder why the world doesn't change and why we're still having wars and why this is going on and that's going on. If everyone loved themselves, there would be no hatred. There would be no wars going on. Wars go on because you don't like yourself. And you kill somebody because you don't like yourself. And you think, I'll kill them and that'll prove I like myself and they're worse off than I am. No, that's just awful.
And as long as we buy in, though, we don't have to take the responsibility. Because when you buy into the church, then Jesus was the exception. So, not up to me to make any kinds of changes or work on who I am.
Because I'm just a human being. I am just a human being.
Yeah.
And humans do this. No,
it's just the way it is.
Just the way it is.
Just the way it is.
Don't believe that, people. Mm. Don't believe that. Make your life wonderful. Make your life wonderful. And know that you matter. That you absolutely matter. You matter so much to this thing called God. And you matter to this thing we call the universe. By the way, when I use that, they're interchangeable. God is the universe. It's always God as the universe. It's God as Dallas, God as Jules, God as you. Because there's only ever God. That's why there's only ever one problem, a God problem.
But Dallas, I think what happens between the getting to the worthy part is that if the person only knew, if God only knows, which God already does, but if outwardly, if people really knew what I really thought, or what that other side of that shadow side or whatever, then I'm they wouldn't love, I wouldn't be loved. So that worthy part, that fight again or whatever, that conflict of I'm worthy, however, at these times, these other times when I'm being, being that other side of me, is a little bit of a conflict. I mean, for me now, it's a lot better. But that's the whole worthy thing that people have a hard time, I think people have a hard time with. How did they go from, if they really knew me, and they knew the mistakes I made, and they knew da-da-da-da, if they knew this, and they knew that, but the only person that matters, the only thing that matters to is God, and he thinks you're perfect, or she, or whatever.
Yes, yes. And everyone's going to make mistakes. Forget those mistakes. That's that mind-holding thinking up again. And it wants to ruin you because you made a mistake. We're all going to make mistakes. You think Jesus didn't make mistakes? Ha, ha, ha.
Mm-hmm.
He made a big one. He got hung, or he got crucified. That was a big mistake. That was a big mistake. Don't hold mistakes against yourself. Each and every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. The whole idea in life is to forgive yourself and not hold anything against yourself. God doesn't hold anything against you. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never. God never remembers one of the mistakes because God never saw those mistakes. God never saw those mistakes.
Because
your mind
the truth is that we're all complete and perfect. There you go. I see how it works.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding,
ding,
ding, ding.
Light bulb.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love it.
And right. Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful.
And that's how it works. And it's absolutely wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.